When Josh and Mandy and the family arrived, and then Brother Paul and Rachel and Anna and Sarah arrived, "Oh, Dad, do we have a double booking?" I said, "I wish there was one." So Brother Paul was supposed to preach tonight, but then I realized that being sick in the hospital, how excuses come. I made the quick decision when John said, "Josh is coming." So what are we doing? This is the only day left. I said, "Oh, tell him to come." And I called Paul and I said, "What are we going to do?" He says, "Oh, it feels all right. It will fit well with our planning." Well, here we are. I am to speak on missions, and I have to admit, was the most difficult subject I did at Bible College, the subject of missions, and it had probably the best professor that could teach, one who served for 25 years in Papua New Guinea and has seen all the negatives and the positives of the missionary work. And having read his unpublished work, I felt so, I don't know, I had mixed feelings, because that seemed to be, in an earthly way, you know, the work of a missionary, the most unrewarding one. And in heavenly ways, the most rewarding one. And you have to choose to put them all in the balance and think, you know, what am I going for? Which reward? I'm thinking of the greatest missionary of all time, Apostle Paul, when he said, I am paraphrasing, "It is laid upon me to preach." Meaning, that's my life calling, that's my life duty, that's something I have no choice of doing. Woe unto me if I don't do it. And I expect no reward for that. And here comes a great theological question. Since the government has stuck its tail in the affairs of the kingdom of God, we have an unnatural relationship of churches as employers, pastors as employees. Perish the thought. That could never be, that should never be. Missionaries, the same. And I was thinking this last few days, what can I say about missions? I want to at the same time encourage our visiting missionaries, our present missionaries, and at the same time I'd like to encourage the church to stay on the tracks and think about ways of how are we going to accomplish all this. And I was thinking, what biblical motivation can I give? What does the Bible say about that? And there comes the big conundrum I have. The word missionary is not in the Bible. And what am I going to do with that? How am I going to tell the people? We have to do this. Oh, well, where is it in the Bible? We do everything the Bible says. And we do attempt to do everything the Bible says. And we should do that as much as the Lord helps. That's the problem. We very often want black and white, where you can't see the white because of the black. It's so much black in there. There is so much in there, because that is actually one of the essentials of the Bible. Our God is the God of the Word. Not only doesn't He have an image that represents Him, because that will limit Him, but also He rejects that categorically. It's the first and the second of the commandments are regarding that, his identity, his person, and what does he look like? So try as we will, we will never succeed to do the right job, because he is like no one else and no one else is like him. He's great. But one thing is true, and that brings us home to missionary work, which is a work of the tongue, a work of the heart, and a work of the mind. It's not just one of them. It's not just enthusiastic people. Oh, we want to change the world around. People with a real biblical motivation who have a calling to do something and do it, they must. Because it's placed upon them as a heavy burden. It's not something you have a choice to do. And I was thinking this evening, what will I read? Today I went home from here. And on Sundays I try to stay away even from the half tablet of painkiller I take in a day. Today I just couldn't, and I took that half, and I even had a coffee. And I said, I'll sit down for a little while. And I fell asleep. And I did not decide what text will we have this evening. And I came here and John said, Dad, do you have a reading? I said, yes, Exodus 19. Why am I doing this? What does it have to do with missions? Well, it's here. Verses 5 and 6. This is something that God is telling Moses to tell the people. What is placed upon them. And what a glorious thing God has in plan for them. And he says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me about all people. For all the earth is mine. There's no such thing as foreign missionaries. God's workers in God's vineyard, wherever you turn your head. It doesn't matter how far you go. Now we have to deal with the curse, the punishment of differences in languages and cultures. But that's nothing. By the time you finish your work, you learn the language too. You'll be happy you have accomplished two things in one go. Anyway, this is an encouragement for Josh and Mandy. Manda. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. This complicates things. And a holy nation. And God says, these are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And the people say, priests? Haven't you had enough of them in Egypt? Isn't Aaron enough just about to become the priest of the nation? Priests? All of us priests? And, because that's how God works. He does his progressive revelation work. I was thinking of another great missionary. It's called Peter. What does he say about this? Because, it resonates. The words that God says here to Israel as something, as a plan for the future, as a master plan, Peter is telling it to the Christians in diaspora, or the pilgrims of the persecution, if you want. He is telling them this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Only verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. Now read this with Exodus 19 in mind. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a nation of priests, a holy nation, his own special people, his peculiar people. For certain reasons, the word peculiar has been changed. I think it's the right change. His own special people. And now it explains what that priesthood implies. What does it mean? that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Here we are. So God, back to Exodus, tells them, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. To do what? To be butchers offering bulls and calves and lambs and kids and everything else, day after day after day, a river of blood that will never accomplish anything, but accuse people of all that death above everything else. No, is to proclaim the praises of God, the fulfilled work of God in Jesus Christ. And that is the calling. That is the calling of a missionary. I studied at Sydney Missionary Bible College, and I'm not going to say one bad thing about my alma mater, but I learned a lot of other things, a lot more than I learned about missions, other than what I said, a very discouraging thing. And this is what the lecturer said too. It's very discouraging. Without saying names, I can tell you his story. I'm not going to have a full sermon this evening. He said, you know, Elijah, when I finished my course after 20 years in New Guinea, I was there ready to embark and come to Australia. One of the elders there, one of the big tribe leaders, whatever else you know better what they are called there, came to me and said, you know, you are a bad missionary. Why? You haven't built a school. You haven't built a hospital. You haven't done anything. And he said, oh yeah, and the big ship didn't come either. The big boat with all the treasures. This is what some missionaries do. They give the impression that we come from the land of plenty, where there's everything, and we will make you all rich. Oh, would to God that we have enough money to do that. We'd like to do that too. But then Graham, the first name of the lecturer was, he said, oh, I can't go back. So he said, take my luggage down. And he spent another 5 years to teach them about the Macedonian churches that gave beyond their power to help the church in Jerusalem that sent the missionaries. If that was the case. So he stayed there, and after all that time they realized that he was actually a good missionary, because what he planted there is still working today. Buildings or no buildings, doctors or no doctors, schools or no schools, let some doctors go there and preach the gospel too. Luke used to do that. So, is it rewarding or isn't it rewarding? So my teacher told me, oh, you're not wrong if you want to be a missionary. But one of my colleagues there was wrong the same year. I said, so why do you want to be a missionary? He wanted to go to Portugal to be a missionary. Well, I want to get there, and if I can, teach in a college probably. I visited a friend of mine who is a missionary there, and it's fun, you know. And I said, you shouldn't go there. Why? Are you having a calling? What are you following? Are you following the rainbows that you are dreaming about? Or are you going in a war there to challenge the powers of darkness with the invisible weapons of the kingdom of God? And he said, calling? What's that? And that started the fight that never ended until I graduated. I couldn't make him understand that if you don't have a call, there's no work for you. Because you are not going to be rich. You are not going to have too much of the earthly satisfaction, other than good times, and if you're in Australia, the barbecues and all that. But go to Romania, where you have to share in the poverty of the, let me call them gypsies, that's what everybody calls them, in the poverty of the gypsies, and the spiritual poverty, because many of them don't want to be integrated. They've been there for over 400 years, some even longer than that. And some of them refuse to be part of the large society. Some of them, thank God, are very good people and integrated everywhere in everything. That's what these gypsies, or we are not gypsies, did. When we came to Australia, we didn't look for churches that seemed to attract us and welcome us. Wherever we saw a cracked door, we pushed ourselves in. With our cabbage rolls, sarmale, and meats, and with everything else, and we found a lot of people that liked them, and we didn't offer them to the people that didn't like them, but we have also accepted a lot of what we still see good and wonderful in the customs and the culture of the place. So this has to work. You said something like that, both ways. It's a two-way street. We don't want to be like the imperial powers that went to Africa, missionaries, and wanted to turn everyone into a British kind of person. You go there and work with what you have. Don't try to redeem the culture, but immerse the culture in the truth of God. Preach the word, proclaim the praises of Him who sent you there. Don't be reluctant like Jonah. Don't lie like Jonah. He was lying by hiding the truth. Don't tell them God is angry with you, in 40 days you will be no more. Tell them, but God is a merciful God. You repent and He will forgive you. And in the end He says He knew that all the way. Preach, proclaim the whole counsel of God. And teach the people that there is a point of repentance too. Not redeeming the culture, sometimes abandoning the culture. Repent, or otherwise, the times of refreshing, this is our morning subject in Acts. Times of refreshing will never come. But do that. Preach the word, obey the word. Repent, follow the Lord, and everything will be wonderful. That will be a great reward. There will be a great reward for that up in heaven. Rejected maybe here on earth, but fully approved of up in heaven. This is all about missions. And now let me do justice to the subject. Is missionary work a biblical thing? Because if it's a missionary, there must be a mission. A mission give you anything. I give you a mission. Go and put some explosives at the great nuclear plant somewhere in Ukraine that will kill half of Europe. That's a mission. And you will be a missionary. No, missionaries were the preachers of the good news. Like God wanted Israel to be. We will be probably only the witnesses of the millennium. But in the millennium will be like that. There will be this priesthood nation, priestly nation, serving the world with Christ, God incarnate in the temple. And they will be the ones doing the communication between the redeemed and the unredeemed, the glorified and unglorified. The people who had once been gone to heaven and returned with Christ, and the people who never experienced that. So there will be a time like that, and we will rejoice in that and sing with Joe Wyness, and that will be glory for me, and so on. Isn't it? So, where is the mission in the Bible? Well, it's right here in the book of Acts. We're not there yet with we just started Acts recently. But in chapter 12, verse 25, and then chapter 13, 1 through 3, we read, and I'll read the verses. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. The list. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, or Niger or Niger, that's a bad word, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch. So one of the sons of Herod the Great. And Saul. So Saul was one of the prophets. So what was it, Paul? Because we know he was an apostle, he was a prophet, he was a deacon, he said that. He was an elder, he was everything else. What wasn't he? So, as they ministered, and here is the doctrine of the calling. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, they sent them away. So they were identified by God, called by God, acknowledged by the church, and sent. This is the doctrine of the calling and sending. This is ordination 101, if you want. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, that sounds interesting, isn't it? Don't bring the Holy Spirit into it. You'll have all sorts of prophets and people with visions. Being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and all the rest is history. So is there a call or a point for the missions in the Bible or not? Yes, there is. But that is God's mission. And Peter summarized it very well where we read in 1 Peter 2. They were the priesthood, the royal priesthood, not king priests, but the priests of the king, who would proclaim the praises of God. That's it. And the praises of God are what? Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. The name of Christ is the only name. And the way of Christ is the only way. This is missionary work, if you want, in a nutshell. We are being identified by the Holy Spirit, gifted by the Holy Spirit, called by the Holy Spirit, sent by the Holy Spirit. And as a church, all you have to do is humbly accept these divine decisions. In the light of God's Word, of course, we have all of those things in the Word of God. No time for that now. I'll write my PhD later on this one. It's no time for that. But yes, brothers and sisters, God wants to have people who will proclaim the Word of God, the people who lift up high the name of God, the people who lift up the name of Christ, the people who will testify of the ugliness of sin and the glories and the goodness of God, the wrath of God against sin, and the mercy of God over those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is simple when you look at the beginning. And then comes the works of those like Paul and Josh and others. I remember a man that I'll never forget him, who went to Papua New Guinea to be a support worker for the missionaries and building huts and things for them. And man, couldn't he sing and couldn't he even share the Word of God? Nothing is too high and nothing is too low in that. I heard people who say we only support missionaries who are directly involved in preaching. And how much time will need those who are doing the preaching to do all the other things? Will they be left with any time for preaching? So it's a whole lot of stuff going on. And yes, missionary societies are parachurch organizations. And that is only because of the shortages of men and sometimes shortages in generosity, because they cannot supply everything, you need the organizations, more people, more churches coming together, doing the things and making it materially, physically possible. Yes, they are para-church organization, but they should not be viewed as paramilitary organizations, because we send missionaries of love and eternal life, preachers like that in the world. We don't send the foreign legion soldiers who learn how to kill and destroy. So, brothers and sisters, should we continue with everything we can, with what we can, support those who God calls and sends them out? We can't judge that. And they, from time to time, we have to see whether they do the right thing. And they are reporting, and now to give a response to Manda's appeal, I will probably be failing, a total failure at communicating with them. I don't think I've ever answered one email. I didn't do that because I knew that John Jaitani would keep close communication, and I know that Andrew, the witnesses, will never forget to bring them before the throne of God, and we never forget to pray for you. So although we don't know all that, in first hand we do know. And we are interested in what you're doing. And we are very happy to learn that you want to be an encouragement for us. So let me tell you this, you already are. I wouldn't want to go and work with the Romans unless the Lord will take me by, like he did Ezekiel, by my sideburns flying and place me in wherever you are there and work with those people. I wouldn't want to, because of human experiences probably. But when it comes to the love for those people's souls, yes, we'll do everything we can that this work will continue. At least with the little part that we can do. Yes, brothers and sisters, it's not sinful to support missionaries. It's rather honoring to, because this is what is in my side notes, the type I like wide margin Bibles, because I have about 100 sermons in this Bible. And I like that I wrote on that place in First Peter chapter 2. What an honor, you know, to be called to be that for God. Despised by the world, honored by God. I stop here and I pray that the Lord will bless all those who engage to such a humanly, materially unrewarding work, and go and do it for the kingdom. Great is God's faithfulness, and great will be your reward in heaven. A little bit of Lamentations 3. Amen.